Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And we're so grateful for all of you who've been with us over the past 3 years of the Buyer's Desk.
And a big welcome to those of you who just joined us this year as we shifted to shorter weekly episodes.
So today, we're digging into the archives to bring back some of our favorite conversations served up in that shorter format.
Thanks for listening, and keep tuning in each week for more stories and maybe even a few sneak peeks at season 4 coming in January 2026. Hello, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk podcast. I'm Angela, Director of Member Programs at Infra, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Nick Ozan, Director of Purchasing. We are here to give a little bit of an overview of what we see when we think about the CPG landscape, growth, category, subcategory, kind of all the things in 2025. The first time we have braved a conversation like this. How is it going, Nick?
It's going well, Angela. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good too. And yeah, thanks for doing this with me. I know I teed it up in the squishy way that I like to tee up things, but kind of thinking that we'll have a little bit of a conversation about what we think and potentially revisit this conversation to see how right or wrong we were. You down?
I'm down for that. I feel like everybody throws out trends, but oftentimes they don't go back and reflect on what they got wrong.
100%. I feel like it could be enlightening. So, all right, let's start with kind of a broad, I invited you to talk to me about 2025 growth in CPG, category, subcategory, kind of whatever that means to you. So let's start with, tell me what that means to you.
Oh gosh, what does that mean to me? I'm really focused on the general health of our membership sales. I hyper-focus on promotions, but I do take a look at just general sales. Oftentimes, I'm looking at general sales and how promotions play or don't play in some of those categories. So that's really my focus. Today, I really drilled in on like hot selling categories that are doing in the tens to 20s to 50 millions of dollars of sales annually with Infra, and just trying to identify trends and opportunities there.
I love it. Tell me where you want to start.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's start with soda. How about soda? Because well, I feel like sugar has been villainized over the last several years, particularly for good measure. I mean, it's not good to overconsume sugar. And what I've been seeing is a rise in the better for you, healthier for you soda option, right? Looking at last year's sales, the soda category amounted to over $20 million for Infra members. That was a 20% dollar growth year over year. That's pretty huge, considering that soda was flat, if not declining, for several years. And really, there are two key winners that are driving that sales growth, being Olipop and Poppi. Something in common with both of them? They don't have a whole lot of sugar, if any. And they are really a positioned better for you, healthy for you soda option. And it's been fun actually seeing some of these brands now promoting to mainstream audiences. I've seen several national commercial spots for both of them. My kids are asking for this now, which is amazing because I couldn't get them to stop drinking. I'm not even going to name the horrible sodas that they want to drink. So that was one that I'm really keyed on. I think that one is going to continue to grow and expand. And I think that's awesome.
Okay, so I totally agree. Part of me wants to ask you where you are, Olipop versus Poppi, but don't tell me. Totally cool. Do you feel like this is an expansion of like the sparkling water trend? Or do you think that the soda trend is just like a overarching, we like a beverage? Like where's the soda growth? It's new brands, definitely, but those new brands had to appeal to something.
Yeah. I will answer your first question that you only half asked. I buy whichever one's on sale. I like them both, but I am a sucker for a sale. So if it's on sale, I'm buying it. You know, as opposed to, you know, sparkling water versus soda, That one's hard for me to say. I feel like, you know, sparkling waters in general are just a refreshment, while some of these products are actually kind of dabbling in that functional ingredient realm, whether it's prebiotics, probiotics, mood enhancing vitamins. So I really do feel this plays in that soda category. We might see some copycatting of sparkling waters trying to adapt more of that concept with functional ingredients added to their products because of some of the monumental growth that these healthier soda options are showing.
Love it. Definitely agree. And it'll be really interesting to watch soda sales. I think it's also interesting just to think about soda playing in the natural category, like really playing. I think you and I have been in the industry long enough to remember, you know, like Hansen's tried and like Zevia's still hanging out, but like none of them really did get the kind of interesting cult following that we've seen with the Poppy and the Olipops.
Yeah, totally. These products are really speaking to that next generation of consumer, and it's only going to continue to grow for them.
You didn't ask me, but we are a Poppy household. There is a little bit of a difference in the ingredients in the Olipop and the Poppy. And we were really into apple cider vinegar. So it kind of pushed us in the Poppy realm. And then just a little shout out to Poppy as well. You know, that was our most popular conference swag this year.
It was. They had Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The sweet bags.
Oh, yeah.
I still rock mine that says, save water, have a Poppy.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually, Hope came back recently from maternity leave, and she came to work in this amazing pink outfit, and she was rocking that pink Poppy bag with her, and I was like, that's awesome.
Love it. Grocery swag gets cool. All right, soda, I'll take it. Give me another one.
Let's see. Another one that I am following very closely would be in the performance nutrition, and that's an interesting category. It represents $8 million of total sales with Infra, but it's really narrow in terms of the products under performance nutrition. I'm really keen in on hydration. Hydration is hot. Everybody is talking about hydration, and it's not just water. These have to be waters that are enhanced, whether it's higher pH content, adding trace minerals. And the three brands that I found really driving this growth in the performance nutrition category are Trace, which saw a 38% increase in units year over year with Infra, followed by Ultima Replenisher, and then one that is just having a meteoric rise. And I'm sorry, I'm old. I think it's Element, but all the vowels are removed, so it's L-M-N-T. Is that Element, Angela?
I've always said Elementi. I love those things. They are like salty, fabulous. Yeah, like coming out of kind of the paleo movement, Rob Wolf started that company. But then I agree. They did all kinds of really fun things. They did some cross promotions at gyms that I think were really successful for them. They kind of were the first one that really took off in that little packet form, which always, you know, felt like that was cool. You know, Trace Minerals does the drops that I feel like I've seen a number of people have recently. But yeah, I'd say Element, but I don't know. It might be Element.
Well, call it what you will. They're closing in on $1 million of sales with Infra, and that's 150% unit growth year over year. So that is something not to sleep on. If you're not offering things that really promote enhanced hydration, you're losing sales.
I mean, kind of interesting that soda, moderately hydrating, something else to drink. Now we're doubling down on this, like, really, you know, capital H hydration. Love it.
Maybe I'm just thirsty.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's wintertime. We're all thirsty.
We're all a little dry right now.
Yeah, but no, I like it. And I feel like that's one of those really accessible wellness categories. You don't have to be into cognition studies or healthy fats even. Everybody knows that we are made of water and need to stay hydrated. And so at the end of the day, I think it really does have broad consumer appeal. All right, you got a third?
You want my third? I got one more.
I'm wondering if it's in the same vein. I'm hoping that it's like high fiber, dry something.
Well, you're close. More like high protein.
Okay, yeah.
Protein, yeah. Double exclamation points. Protein is vital. It is necessary. And I think more people are trying to find ways to get healthier proteins into their diet, whether it's the three meals a day or in between meals with snacks. The things I'm finding is meat snacks are still continuing to see more consumer adoption. $18 million in sales annually for meat snacks So that's jerky, that's sticks, that's biltong, that's any shelf-stable meat product. And really the two big winners I saw over last year and going into this year is 1000 Hills, saw 68% unit growth year over year, followed closely by Force of Nature at 57% unit growth year over year. I think what those two have in common is they really put animal welfare first and foremost in how they conduct their business, how they source their meat. And it's shown prominently, not only on the package, but all of the storytelling they do in their marketing to consumers. So those were my two big winners in the meat snack category. Related, I was looking a little bit at protein supplements, which is a huge category at $27 million annually for Infra members. I am predicting a new category leader in protein supplements in 2025. It's Garden of Life has had a foothold there for years, if not even a decade. And I think this is the year that we see Ancient Nutrition take that number one in the brand ranking. They have continued to grow at a phenomenal rate, and they've continued to gain more market share in that category. I think another runner-up that's starting to get a lot of traction is Truvani. I like that product. I've tried it. Easy to digest. I really like the packaging just because it's less plastic than what you see in some of the other protein supplement containers. And I think consumers are recognizing that, and that's also feeding into their growth.
I love it. I feel like we've talked about protein for a couple of years now, and 2025, insects. Is it? I mean, like when, you know, there's like this piece of even thinking outside of insects, even thinking about really diversifying species. You see it just a little bit in Epic's line, right? They got a little venison, maybe a little duck. But we pretty much stay to a really small group of species that we tend to consume protein from in the animal kingdom. And so forever, it's been like, is it going to be crickets? Is it going to be mealworms? I know you and I have been to Expo West and seen the like four booths that are trying to make it happen. Nick,
yeah.
2025, insects, yay or nay?
Well, you know, I want to say yay because I think it's a more sustainable protein source culturally. You know, it's just not part of our diet right now. We see it across the globe and in other cultures' diets, insects, but for whatever reason, it hasn't quite gotten a foothold here in North America. I'm going to compare this similar to, I can't go onto a podcast without talking about mushrooms, right? Mushrooms are similar comparison where, you know, a lot of North Americans did not like mushrooms, and mushrooms were going to be the big thing forever. And it took 20 years. I mean, I've been in the natural foods industry now for over 20 years. Just now, they're finally getting their spotlight. They've been adopted. They've been accepted. Yay, mushrooms. And I think a similar journey for insect protein. I think it's going to be a long runway before we really see that mainstream. But, you know, the folks that are pushing it, you know, just keep fighting the good fight because eventually consumers are going to figure it out. They're going to adapt. They're going to adopt. And they're going to love insect protein.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that it's probably not 2025, but I do agree it's on the horizon. And I mean, it was topical and a very valid argument on the mushroom front. We have really seen that explosion, both center store wellness. And I think actually it was you and I that just were talking about not only are we seeing different mushroom species, but now we're seeing the difference between spores and fruiting bodies. And we're really there's some specificity happening in the mushroom category.
Yeah, people are actually learning more about what mushrooms are, how they come to be, and understand that it's really that network of mycelium, right, under the ground that fruits these mushrooms. And I love the debate that's happening now on, you know, what is healthier, the actual fruited body mushroom or the mycelium that makes that fruiting body, right? Not all supplements are using fruity body mushrooms. So something to consider if you're a mushroom enthusiast and you supplement your diet, mushroom supplements, you should know where those are coming from.
You know, or you're just like me and I'm like, oh, fruiting bodies. That sounds really cool. Okay, I love it. Soda, performance nutrition, and protein. I think that those are three really great categories to keep a track on in 2025. Love that you even doubled down on two specific brands to unseat Garden of Life this year. Is there any other 2025 prediction you want to make sure that we get on record right now?
Oh boy, that's a lot of pressure, Angela.
You first. What I mean, I've been talking about my predictions. What are you looking at, or what do you think is going to be big this year?
Well, I'd like to offer the juxtaposition in the fact that, like, I did not go through infra member sales in order to feel this way. I read a lot of the trend predictions, and I have often thought about, like, the juxtaposition of being a retailer and a consumer, and, like, what we talk about versus what actually happens, which, you know, it's interesting. So my predictions were very broad. First and foremost, all the ladies. We saw it in wellness. We saw this amazing growth of Femme High in the last couple of years. And now I feel like we're seeing more, even outside of the supplement space, we're seeing more food that is targeted to the unique nutritional needs of women. We've always been the primary shopper. We absolutely deserve to be represented better at the grocery store. And I am here for it. And I would love to feel like there were a few brands that come up in 2025 that are making center store food for women. No names, but I will happily, like, revisit this prediction sometime at the end of the year, and brand names at that point for sure. But rooting for you, ladies, like, let's do this. Second, I feel like vegetables. And I feel like vegetables because I feel like we had this really interesting shift. Forever, you know, it was just like the weird soy set for the vegetarians among us. And I feel like then there became this rise of plant-based, which I'm not even going to go to my digression about putting plant-based on like a potato chip. Like, we got it. We knew this was a potato. That's really not what we're talking about. I think that whole movement is really about health and about vegetables in their whole form, and finding other ways outside of the produce department that are easy and nutritious for consumers to consume them. And so I think we're going to see more whole vegetable products, some perishable, of course, but I think we're going to see more in the center store. I think they're going to shout their label loud and proud. It's going to be a vegetable forward, and it's not just going to be marketed to vegetarians. It's going to be marketed to all of us that need to do our best to consume additional vegetables. And my third one was, again, something we've been talking about for a really long time, but it's meal solutions. I think we're going to continue to see innovation in that space. I actually would put my GLP-1 trending kind of even underneath this bullet point to say that we are acknowledging that 9% of the American population is trying GLP-1s. That is definitely affecting their grocery budget, but it's also just affecting the way they look at food. So, you know, some of the bigger corporations have been first to market to build out some products that are going to appeal to them. But I think we're going to see more value-centric in terms of how big a product is that's going to appeal to kind of everyone, but really specifically to that GLP-1 consumer. I have to think that if you are not eating as much as you used to eat, you would want the things that you do eat to be very nutritionally dense. So, you know, Soylent has been on the market for some time. Maybe we'll see some growth there. I was looking at like Slate Milk. That's a high protein, like milk-based beverage that I feel like could double as a meal if you're already operating in that space. And I think we're just going to continue to see more sauces, concentrates, and kind of cleaned up boxed things that are going to make smaller, more nutritious meals easier to produce.
I like those predictions.
No data on any of that, just Angela gut feel.
You got to go with your gut sometimes.
Well, I mean, so we didn't plan this, but I actually think that your analytical vibe and my, like, I'm a shopper, let's go ladies, is maybe, you know, like, we'll see how our six kind of category predictions work out.
So you didn't plan this, but I had a feeling that I was going to be bringing the data and you were going to be bringing the gut feeling. So it all worked out well.
This is awesome. All right. We're going to wrap this up. Is there any, like, when you thought about, Angela wants me to come on the podcast and talk about these things, was there anything that you definitely wanted to say that we did not get to?
No, you know, something though that you didn't mention about more vegetables in the diet. I actually was thinking about that in preparation for this conversation, you know, with the fact that we lived in a pandemic where a lot of people had to learn how to cook, right? And now we are in a place economy-wise where, you know, we're still feeling some inflation, especially at the grocery store. I kid you not, I was at the grocery store this weekend. I wanted to buy a can of condensed mushroom soup. It was $4.99. And I verbally said, oh my gosh, this can of soup is $5.
In the aisle.
People are, yeah, in the aisle. yeah, people were looking at me and I was like, hey, I'm just doing my thing here. I'm working. But no, in all seriousness, I think people, you know, are going to be incorporating more vegetables into their diet and they're going to be cooking more at home, using those skills that they learned through the pandemic and making their grocery budget stretch as far as they can, right? Because not everybody is going to be taking Ozempic and eating less right now. And so how do we get that nutritional food? I think a lot of it is figuring out how to provide that yourself with those whole ingredients. And so I predict seeing, you know, for produce departments continuing to grow in that space.
Yeah, I will accept that as a reasonable extension of my bullet point. But when we come back to this conversation, I'm still owning vegetables. Just,
yeah,
you know.
You still own vegetables.
Okay. Excellent.
They're yours. I've given them to you.
Oh, well, Nick, I really appreciate your time, data, and all of your insight today. I very much look forward to circling back to this conversation. And from all of us at the Buyer's Desk, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew. This was fun. See you in a few months.
Cheers.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.